In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is the way of wicked men to call that which is good, evil. And it shouldn't come as a surprise when I say, we have all done it. I would put money on it anyway. Right? Have we not all slandered? Have we all not violated the Eighth Commandment, vilified those who disagree with us? I would say probably so. We rarely call those who disagree with us in what? Politics, at work, at home, or even in the church. We rarely call those people evil, right? We don't typically, and this is good, don't typically say that they're in league with demons. But what we do call them is closed-minded. What we do call them is hateful and pharisaical and stupid and racist and liberal and conservative and Nazis and Marxist. And what we mean to do in all of this, in character defamation, and just plain old school name-calling when it comes right down to it, has been to make ourselves look good before others, to make ourselves look better in front of other people, and to make a last-ditch effort to exact some vengeance, maybe, born of envy or anger or disgust and ignorance, but never of love, onto our opponents. We have made ourselves the judge of all that is good and right and true. And in our self-justified righteousness, we have delighted in and loved the taste of our own anger. I can prove this to you. Because of the fact that we so seldom easily let our anger go. We love our anger. We savor it. We hold on to it like it was gold. But our insults and name-calling, that really just reveals more about ourselves than they do about our enemies. Hear today's gospel. And when you do, see yourself not in Jesus, but in the Pharisees. We don't like to do that, do we? Right? I love comic books, always have from a boy. We never like to see ourselves as the bad guy, but the hero. But I would entreat you to see yourself here in the Pharisees. The Lord was working good in the world. He was literally exorcising demons. But the Pharisees and the crowd hated Christ. No matter what he did, they always criticized him. Their hearts were filled to the brim with hatred and with jealousy and wrath. And they could not stand or accept his good works. So what do they say about him? Clearly, he's in league with demons. Clearly, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, they said. This crowd who is taken captive and made slaves by Satan does exactly what the devil did to Jesus in the desert. Right? They wanted signs. Right? That's what they asked for. You know, force the angels to catch you, Jesus. Make your Father prove his power and his love. The crowd already had a sign from Jesus. What was it? Casting out demons. Right? What more sign could they want? Unbelief always wants something more. And envy is never satiated. Never. Jesus is going to later say to this exact same crowd, that it's an evil generation who seeks for a sign. That's what he says to them. They refuse to be satisfied, and they would not trust only in Christ and his word. They demand proof. And Jesus said that the only sign that they will get is what? The good and beautiful sign of Jonah. The sign of a man who is buried in the darkness of the abyss and springs forth to life 3 days later. Right? This man alive out of death to preach repentance and salvation to the nations. That's the sign which faith clings to. This is the sign of the cross. Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ ascended to save sinners. Death spitting up, spewing forth its prey. And that is why Luther was so emphatic about making the sign of Jesus' cross on our bodies so frequently. And he said, at least do it in the morning and in the evening. At least then. Our poor race, once living in darkness, was under the sole influence of demons, calling good things evil and evil things good, filled with rage and lust and envy, all of them unbridled. But Christ our Lord has shined light in the darkness, finally, has shined light in the darkness of this world. He has suffered the demons and has taken every accusation that they have made against you into the abyss of death and has left them there. They have nothing more to accuse you with. He has rescued you from the bondage and slavery to these creatures and gives his own grace, love, and mercy to you. Broken your chains and cast Satan into hell to pull you out. And he crowns you now with life and love. And in this way has pulled you into the dry land of the ark of his holy church. You are washed in the waters of regeneration. You are baptized and claimed as one who belongs not to the strong man, but to the one who is stronger even than the strong man, even Jesus Christ himself. And where you were once mute to sing praises to God, your tongue has been loosed to worship him without fear. And yet, there is still danger in this world for us. I know some of you are undergoing this danger even right now. Horrible things happening in your life. I know this. You've told me. There's still danger everywhere. Even as fallen men still call that which is evil good. God's word is still attacked and called a myth and a fiction among all of the other religions. As these creatures which Jesus Christ has entreated us about this day, and really, if you've noticed, ever since the beginning of Lent, are unleashed in the world. Lent really is all about spiritual warfare. And that's where the sacred text takes us in Lent. The world still calls Christians fools. And that the faith of the apostles is an offense that should not be tolerated anywhere. Right? We were taught that in polite society, you don't talk about religion. Hogwash. You talk all you want about religion. You talk all you want about Jesus. Don't ever buy into that stupidity. That's demonic, truly demonic. And all of this, we must endure Because in his wisdom, God has chosen the foolishness in the world to shame the wise. He has chosen that which is weak to shame the strong. And in all of this, God has chosen you to be vilified with the Lord. He has chosen you to suffer with his Son, Jesus Christ. And what an incredible honor that is to suffer with God, to go the way of the Holy Cross, to move from the Pharisees to Jesus. What an honor. What an honor. Lent truly is about spiritual warfare. Because the devil is strong. He has great power and is ruthless and is clever. But your God is the stronger man. The demons like to flaunt their power in shows of great strength and great violence and deceptions. And when they come after Jesus with all of this, what does he do? Not what you would think. Because what he does is he submits to all of this. He submits to everything the devil has, everything that the demons can throw at him, he submits to. He lets them do their worst to bring their full might to bear upon him. Even as they stretch out his body on the cross of Calvary, so that they cannot bring their full might to bear on you, beloved of the Lord. You see, Jesus uses Satan's strength against him. Our Lord does not use evil disguised as good. That is the way of the devil. Jesus uses good disguised as evil. I'll explain what I mean. The unjust death that he died, the innocent for the guilty, that is good. His sacred head wounded, his bloody hands, his bloody feet, his bloody side, his dying thirst are good. The soldier's conversion, the repentant thief are good. You see, the death of Jesus appeared evil, but it is the ultimate and greatest good in all of the universe. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The strong man's strength is now bound. Right now, Satan's strength is bound, and it is soon to fade into nothing. For the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the church, has invaded the enemy's camp. He has gone behind enemy lines into even hell itself, and from there has destroyed death. The armory of Satan, right, the armor of which Christ speaks of in the gospel, it's the greatest catalog of all the sins of men. That has been nailed to the cross with Christ. He has nothing left to use on us. No way to keep us any longer in chains. It was by a tree that the devil enslaved the race of Adam and plunged creation into darkness. And so, in God's divine irony, it is by the tree of the Holy Cross that the devil is now overcome. It was by the death that was brought into the world by Satan that he sought to steal away man's glory. And so it is by the death of Jesus Christ that the glory of Adam is restored and even increased. You see, Satan has fallen into his own trap and has been killed by it. The strong man is outmaneuvered by the stronger man, whose strength is not hatred and rage, but love and mercy. The war is over. Satan is defeated. Jesus Christ is the victor. And though they're defeated, these spiritual creatures still thrash about on the ground in the throes of death, in a frenzy, knowing that their time is short, right? Knowing that the decisive blow has been made to them and their time is soon to come. That's why in the Gospels you see them talking all the time. Lord, why are you here? Our time has not come yet. Right? They know the time is up. They're like a drowning man who, if you ever see, I was a lifeguard and saved several people from drowning. If you ever save someone from drowning, what do? They try at all cost just to grab a hold of you, right? Not meaning to drag you down with them, but that's inadvertently what they do. The devil thrashes about and he writhes. And some are deceived and mistake all of this thrashing as, in fact, power. Do not be sucked into his false display. Don't buy into the false wisdom of the world that calls evil good and good evil. Because it's in this way that defeated evil spirits return to you, just as Christ speaks of. And if the soul who has been liberated and set free by Christ is not filled with good things, with God's word, with God's truth, then the demons are not replaced with the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And it's thus that the last state of man is worse than the first. This happens. I have seen it, you have seen it in people that probably you even love. The unclean spirits must be replaced with the Holy Spirit, with the holy things of God, chiefly the Word of God, firstly the Word of God, and then all of the means of grace that He has given His people in this age of grace. The sacraments, right? Confession and absolution, forgiveness, the fellowship of believers. He has given us one to another. That's how they are blessed. That's how we are blessed. Their mute lips have been opened to praise God and even receive God Himself upon those lips in the Holy Eucharist. Blessed are those indeed whose wickedness has been covered and whose sins have been forgiven. And you, saints of God, are such people. Don't give up. Don't give in. Fight the good fight of faith. Because there's a war going on all around you. Don't ever give up. Cling to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.